Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you, all right?
Fine. I was going to go for a morning, but I decided not to.
Well, you're in a good mood today. Friday's amongst us, best day of the week. Boom.
It is nice. That's the first one of the new year as well, isn't it?
It is, well done. Yeah, it wasn't a proper Friday last week, really, was it?
No.
No. Okay, well, the threat of military conflicts in the Gulf has receded. Markets seem to like it quite a lot. Tech stocks doing very well.
Yeah, stocks extending a relief rally yesterday, continuing to recover from that geopolitical shock generated by the hostilities in the Middle East. Investors certainly betting on de-escalation, focusing back on the economic environment in which they're operating in, and of course the prospects for companies, continued excitement around the prospects, particularly for the technology sector. Saw the Nasdaq hitting a record high yesterday, as to be fair did the Dow and the S&P 500. Dow Jones up 211 points at the close, 0.75%. Nasdaq slightly outperforming, up 0.8%. European shares steady day yesterday. Stock 600 is up 0.3%. Should be adding to those gains at the start this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 28 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 25 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 13 points.
Yeah, now we saw you down in Marks and Spencer's before Christmas trying to squeeze yourself into those skinny jeans. But I mean, you're just a disaster. The company had like hinged its whole Christmas sales forecast on you being able to get into their clothes, and you just failed miserably.
Just didn't happen. Shares in M&S slumping another 10% yesterday. So there's higher food waste, weak sales, particularly of menswear and gifts, tarnished its Christmas performance, raising questions once again around the latest turnaround attempt. Menswear, as you say, sales suffered specifically. They bought skinny, they bought slim stars, they underbought classic fits, once again reminding us that Marks and Spencer simply doesn't know its customer base. The group said that gifting was impacted by unprecedented discounting between Black Friday and Christmas. M&S has been almost in perpetual turnaround since, over the course of the past decade, you could argue. They've been closing stores, revamping ranges, investing in technology, very few signs of improvement. The Ocado deal is perhaps one bright spot that you can point to. In terms of the outlook, well, Marks and Spencer saying margins would be at the lower end of its guidance. Profits for 2020 are forecast to be £464 million. That compares to the £1 billion of profit they made a decade ago.
Yeah, you got sidetracked in the food hall, didn't you?
Food did okay, actually.
The
not too
good.
Bad.
I like Marks and Spencer's food. And we used to have a Marks and Spencer's in Nice many, many, many years ago. I still miss it.
They went for that international. There's been all sorts of plans, hasn't there? International expansion. Then they cut many of those stores. Then the focus was going to be on the standalone food stores. Then it's going to be revamping female clothing to try and win back shoppers into its stores. Then they were going for younger shoppers and said that they couldn't rely on its traditional older shopper. I mean, it's kept us going for many a year.
But I think the clothing is just a fiasco now. They should hive that off to somebody else, shouldn't they?
Well, I mean, and they still make money from it. So, you know, fiascos, yes, like-for-like sales continue to disappoint time after time after time. There's no doubt about that. Was it a problem that they can eventually solve? Maybe so. I mean, they've struggled against fast fashion, but you could argue fast fashion is now sort of facing up to other potential issues. I mean, there's lots of competition in there as well, but environmental concerns are starting to filter through into that fast fashion place. Marks and Spencer's still got a strong, it's still got a reliable brand in many ways. So if they can get that range right, if they can get the store configuration right and make it an experience for people to come back into the store, it's possible they could bounce back, but it's certainly no easy task.
Okay, moving on to Willie Walsh, his parting company with IAG after 15 years. Is he going or was he pushed?
Going from what we hear, Slasher Walsh, as many people would refer to him, given the aggressive cost-cutting he brought to the industry over the course of the past decade and a half, 2,500 jobs going at British Airways. M&A has been a key element of the performance that we've seen at IAG during the course of his reign, bolting on Iberia, of course. I think Iberia was losing something like a million euros a day when he took it over. Now back into into positive territory, reform the structure around the airline industry, a holding company, and then these companies below that, the individual airlines having to meet the requirements of that holding company. BMI was a really important one, which helped to secure its position at Heathrow, those very valuable landing slots Heathrow is full. So taking over those landing slots was seen as incredibly important for that. So shares have been a good performer as well. This is someone who perhaps focused more on shareholder returns than it did on customer experience, or at least tried to rebalance that. For a long time, British Airways was very strong in terms of customer performance. The product was very good. The shareholder returns was very poor. He rebalanced that element. IAG shares, I think, up 107% under his watch, more than double the 52% return that we've seen from the FTSE All Share.
Had a lot of problems in the last year or so with that IT fiasco at British Airways, and also that damaging strike that cost the airline several hundred million quid.
Yeah, very difficult. I mean, running an airline, you're always hostage in many cases, of course, to
especially
a range of factors.
Like you.
I'm a very good passenger. A range of factors, you know, you're impacted by the global economy. Fuel prices is difficult. Staff can be a major problem. Air traffic. I mean, the list is almost endless when it comes to the airlines. Technically, of course, you did have that computer glitch, I think, back in 2017, stranded 75,000 bank holiday passengers. Then they had hackers pinch 500,000 sets of customer personal data. Remember, they were fined for that. I think it was a record fine at the time, £183 million. So no doubt there has been some turbulent times during the course of his reign. But in general, I think we'll be reminded that Walsh brought British Airways and IAG into the modern arena when competition had been ratcheting up quite dramatically from the budget airlines.
You haven't had to be restrained recently then?
It's been a while.
It was that Brad Pitt-style Marks and Spencer suit you tried to squeeze into. You know? Got you a bit hot on the collar, didn't it?
I would get very hot if I tried to squeeze into one of Brad Pitt's suits, no doubt.
Especially if he was in it at the time. Foreign exchanges.
You're living out your fantasies on the radio now, not mine.
Probably Sarah's, actually, not mine.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 130.5. Euro dollar coming in at 111. You're going to get 1 euro, 17.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
What are you doing this weekend then? Taking it down a notch, watching a bit of golf?
I don't know what we are doing this weekend, actually. Yeah, I don't think we've got too many plans, to be honest with you.
There's a sale on at Marks and Spencer's.
I'll imagine there's a big sale on at Marks and Spencer's. A nice, easy one after the first official week back in the office.
Didn't they overestimate the mince pies as well?
Food waste was one element, so
yeah,
I didn't see the
boxes
breakdown.
And boxes of mince pies going cheap, 50p a box, apparently. So if you like mince pies, then pop down there.
Okay, well, if you want me to pick you up a few packs,
no,
just let me know.
Thanks, all right. Talk to you on Monday.
Enjoy your weekend.
Hang pots and Barclays.